Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Hey there and welcome back to another episode of This Song Is Yours. I'm Simon Fink, your guide through all things music in 2024, and today we've got something truly special in store for you. Joining us on the podcast is none other than Matthew Murphy, the mastermind behind Love, Fame, and Tragedy. Some of you might know him as Murph, and some of you might recognize him as the frontman of the iconic English indie group, The Wombats. But today we're diving into the mesmerizing world of his solo project. So fresh off the heels of his second studio record, Life is a Killer, which is out today, Murph is here to spill all the beans about his latest musical venture. We had the incredible opportunity to catch up with him during his visit to Australia last October, where we shared some laughs and spoke about this incredible second record. In today's episode, get ready to feast your ears on some exclusive behind-the-scenes tales. We'll be delving into the making of Murph's new solo record, including his collaborations with the brilliant Jacknife Lee and Mark Crew. We'll also be uncovering some of the secrets behind his unique songwriting style and how it sets Love, Fame, Tragedy apart from the Wombats sound. We'll also be reminiscing about Murph's epic tour across Australia with the Wombats and pondering the possibility of catching Love, Fame, Tragedy live down under. We want to give a massive shout out to Rhiannon for helping us put together this stellar episode. And hey, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on all of our socials for more exclusive content. All details can be found within today's show notes. All right, folks, let's get into it. Here is our conversation with Murph from Love, Fame, Tragedy. I never said it, so let's make it formal. Don't you want to sleep with someone normal? Someone who can take you out. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Murph from Love, Fame, Tragedy. Murph, hello. How are you going?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for your time today.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Now, it's an incredibly exciting time at the moment. There's a new Love, Fame, Tragedy album coming out right now. Life is a Killer. Firstly, congratulations on this record.
Thank you.
How are you... It might be a bit of an obvious question, but how are you feeling with this record coming out? I know that it's always a bit of a... What's the word I'm looking for? Bit of excitement, bit of a release when there is new music being put out, whether it's Wombats or Love, Fame, Tragedy. How are you feeling with this record?
I am... Well, I mean, to put it... The easiest way to answer that question is that I tend to not listen to any albums when they're finished. I listen to the first Wombats album. I listen to the fourth Wombats album. And... I've listened to this one and they were all enjoyable and this one was an enjoyable experience. So I've only done it 3 times out of 7 albums. And I got to the end of this one and was like, okay, you did the best you could. You did everything you could. It sounds great. It flows. The songs are cool. The lyrics are raw. It's everything that I wanted to do. And as someone who's hypercritical of themselves, for me to be able to listen through it all the way and enjoy it was quite a positive experience.
That's good to hear. I'm really fascinated by the fact that you've advised that you're hypercritical of your work. Like, has that always been the case when, like, I guess, releasing your own music?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd like to blame that on a couple of factors, but really I've always been like that. I've always known when something is I'm very sensitive as to what resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
And generally the songs that don't resonate with me don't resonate with as many other people either. So yeah, it's just the kind of, I actually mark every song out of 10. and still, I'm still unsure as to what the criteria is, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just very, very aware of what is hitting me when I'm listening back to it and what isn't.
I feel like the what is it? The truest barometer of like one's self, and especially with songwriting, it's that kind of thing that if you don't believe it, but if as you said, if it's not resonating with you, it's gonna have that similar effect on people who are listening to it. Because if you can't convey it, if you don't believe it, then why are other people going to almost? Yeah.
Yeah.
With this new record, I know, I think it was 2020, the first Love Fame Tragedy record that came out. Was there always the plan from that first one to be releasing a second one, or was it just that you kind of found yourself with a collection of songs for a second record?
No, there wasn't. I mean, there was a couple of songs that made the record that were lingering around from before, but for Wherever I Go, I Want to Leave, which is the first LFT album. But I kind of made a deal with myself that I was going to do three come hell or high water.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I've stuck to it. Yeah.
That's very exciting. It's interesting to know that we do have a forthcoming one at some point. We won't get too far ahead of ourselves. Yeah. This record is gorgeous. It sonically, I thought, was super interesting. I know that there was some work done with Jackknife Lee for this record, and
Mark Crew.
Thank you. I forgot Mark's last name. Apologies, Mark. For this record, I think you'd previously worked with Mark for some stuff with the Wombats, but was this your first time with Jackknife Lee?
No, he did a song on the Wombats' second album and a couple on our fifth. So yeah, I have worked with him before, and the plan was that he was going to do the whole thing, but that kind of, he was very busy with U2 and stuff, and I was on tour, and I don't know. We got 5-6 songs together for this album, and then I called Mark in a prank. I was freaking out. I was like, "Well, there was a deadline." And I was like, "There's 4 or 5 unfinished songs here, or unfinished productions." And he came straight over to LA and finished it off. Yeah,
because you're based in LA now, aren't you?
Yes.
How do you find that in terms of, I guess, in terms of your creativity, which it might be a bit of an obvious question because I know that LA seems to be the hub for a lot of creatives, but for you, do you find that you work better or that you seem to have more inspiration while you're living in the States?
I mean, I do have... thank you. I do have... You know, I think LA bleeds into it somehow. I'm uncertain as to the how, but I'm like 10% happier there than I was in London, and therefore I'm kind of 10% more productive. And I just feel like I'm in a good kind of flow by being out there. And now I have kids and dogs and a wife. Music isn't... It's right at the top of the pile, but it's not at the top of the pile.
Mm-hmm.
And weirdly, I feel like that makes me...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Makes me better at it in a way. I don't know.
I can appreciate that. I think there's an element of when you're too close to something, or when something is that main priority, yeah. You can almost be within its orbit too much that you can't have proper perspective on it.
Yeah.
And that this allows you to have that space, I guess.
Give me good, yeah, gives me better perspective. And, you know, if I have a bad day, I don't beat myself up, whereas I used mm-hmm. to, because, I can't beat myself up because I need to be on it when I get home.
Yeah.
So, LA is a very, very silly yet inspiring place, I think.
I have heard very similar sentiments from a lot of people about about that. It seems like Life is a Killer is kind of dealing with a few of those themes that you just mentioned in terms of being a dad, being a family man, kind of having to juggle those responsibilities while being in a world-famous indie rock band. When you're kind of writing these songs, how do you find that perspective in terms of it not being too, I don't want to say like saccharine or too, not cheesy either, but I think that there's a certain word I can't put my finger on, but that balance of like being able to convey how you're feeling in, I guess, this new stage of life, but it work in a songwriting kind of capsule as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, as much as my wife would love it, like, there's no real songs on there about how much I love home, family life. I think it just helps me be better at the other at making the stuff. But yeah, I don't know. The last 4 or 5 years have just been a kind of whirlwind of me trying to transition from being just acting like a child in a rock band and Arrested Development to suddenly being kind of thrown into the world, I think. Just really trying to, I don't know, it sounds cheesy and dire when I say it, but, you know, putting the boy behind and becoming someone else.
But I think, like, the whole progressing, like, not to steal the words from you, but boy going to man, it might be cliche, but it is cliche for a reason. It's true. Yeah. These things do happen.
Yeah. And most people kind of do that in their 20s, not in their late 30s. and doing that from being this kind of bachelor in East London doing whatever the hell he wants whenever he wants to do it to what I am now, you know, was not an easy transition. And I think that this album is really about shining a magnifying glass on some of the most shocking parts of that transition.
It is an incredible record. I absolutely, what was it? There was one track that kind of struck me when I was listening to it. We were very lucky enough to have a listen to the record before it's coming out, so thank you for that. And If You Don't was a track that I found myself coming back to, only because I know that there's obviously, with LFT, there's certain sonics that I think people associate with that. And mm-hmm. I know, obviously, there's certain sonics that people also associate with you for The Wombat.
Yeah.
But this was, like, a little bit more of an, I want to say, like, intimate kind of song, which I really loved. I was wondering if I may be so bold to ask, I guess, the inspiration or the creation of that track and where it kind of came from.
I mean, the song is loosely about this. I think it was a train journey that we did to Edinburgh from London, which takes like 6 hours, and we drank a lot of alcohol on it, my wife and I, and we were just went through the whole kind of the ups and downs of life all within those 6 hours. Mm-hmm. It's quite a dramatic train ride, I think. And that's what the song's about, yeah. But in terms of, I think it is a very raw, honest song made kind of the demo compared to how it how it ended up. Mark somehow made it even rawer than that just by his production and the way that we went about it. Because everyone loved the song, and you know, there was talk about, you know, slapping a fucking dunk on it or whatever, and we were like, well, maybe that's not the way to go here. And then, yeah, thankfully, Mark took it in a very kind of, what's another word for raw or honest direction? It's kind of like, I don't know, the vocals are very loud. It's all a bit kind of, it's quite unhinged as a production, which I think helps, well, you know, helps bolster up the unhinged lyrics again.
I do love that track, so thank you very much for allowing me to kind of ask and share those details. As we've mentioned, you do have both projects with LFT and with the Wombats. For when you're writing some of these songs, is there usually a clear distinction for you of what's going to be an LFT song versus a Wombat song, or is it just after it's kind of out, you've been able to assess it and go, this might be better for this project?
80% of the time, yes. It's all cut from the same loaf of bread, and that loaf of bread is sadly my brain. So I'm not gonna lie and say it, you know, one day it's like, this is a love fame tragedy day, and the other is a Wombats day. When we finished tracking the last Wombats album, you know, I took a month off and knew that I wanted to get going and digging around, finding more songs and trying to do something a little bit different. Most of the time it's pretty obvious to me, but it's like, it's always with a view as to what the end goal is. So if it's like I'm doing a Wombats album, then I'm actively writing for Wombats for 2 years or whatever. So, yeah.
Has anything ever crossed over at a final stage? Anything almost kind of been a Wombats and then didn't feel right?
There was Sharks on the first Love Fame Tragedy album was you know, written for Wombats 4. And then people kept on bringing it up and saying, this is a really good song. And I was like, okay, I didn't really like it. So I was like, okay, right, let's just get it on there. But there's a couple of songs that could have been on this one. It might be on the next Wombats one, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Do you remember when you found yourself with, I guess going back to the first LFT record, that you found yourself with a collection of songs that didn't quite feel that they were Wombats, that they were, I guess, a true representation of just yourself and what you were wanting to say separate from the band?
I feel like I could, yes, because I felt like I could get away with more. There is something kind of freeing about it, and certain lyrics or melodies that might not have worked on a Wombats song. Really, that I wanted to experience a recording process where it was just myself and a producer or a couple of producers, and experience what it's like without the removal of the kind of internal politics of being in a band for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to try that, and but then I just find it just comes with its own politics. It's quite funny, but I just thought it was time to try something a little bit different.
100%. With this new record coming out, can we expect, maybe not here in Australia as of yet, but at some point, some live shows in support of Life is a Killer?
I hope so. I think the loose plan is to do, you know, a decent run in the start of next year. So I hope that that means we're coming back down here. That's the plan, but nothing's set in stone as of yet.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the live show for LFT, does it usually allow you a little bit more freedom in terms of the, I guess, the regular structure that you have at the Wombats compared with LFT? Can you kind of allow someone else to take some of the duties that you might have previously had and do what you're wanting to do, possibly be more at the front? Well, not more of a front man, you already are the front man, but...
I have these three guys in the band, well, two girls and a guy, and they're amazing and they're so fun and so talented, and it just feels kind of like one big party whenever we're with each other, which is it just feels very kind of relaxing and fun doing kind of live shows as LFT. But no, I don't feel like I get to... I'm allowed to put a soapbox on the front of stage and stand on the top of that. It's still very much kind of... The plan is to do the songs and the album justice in a live scenario,
100%. Is there a track off the new record that you're most looking forward to kind of debuting live and seeing how it works or resonates in that live space?
The first single, Slipping Away, I love that song, and I'm very interested to see how we're going to do it live, especially with that kind of bass in the chorus. But so that will be kind of fun to tackle that one. And then it feels to me like one of the kind of an album where I can do it from start to finish, and then play a few things from the first album. And I don't know.
Well, I know that there is a lot of excitement around the new record and around these live shows. So, again, hopefully we will get to see you bring them down to Australia and play for us. Murphy, we'd usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment?
God, I'm like the worst person for this question.
We do usually allow our guests to check their Spotify if you would like to.
Well, I'm just going to talk about Sam again. Yeah. there was a song on... there's a song on the album, Eat, Fuck, Sleep Forever, which Sam Howells, do we call him Howells?
Hales.
Sam Hales from Jungle Giants kind of finished off and ended up co-producing. And I have been quite obsessed with Jungle Giants for a while now, since they came on like a shuffle when I was driving. I was like, what is this? But... Beyond Sam and Jungle Giant, I feel like I'm so busy with touring this album, and when I have downtime, I'm usually watching some fucking stupid film that is not arty whatsoever, or I'm reading or something, or I'm on the phone.
Look, very, very fair.
The days of me kicking back and just listening to albums, I don't know. Yeah, they're not. I'm sure they'll be back in a few years, but not right now.
Not right now. That's very fair. With full disclosure to the listeners, we are having a chat while you are in Australia a little bit before, because I think you're playing some shows at the moment with Sam and the Jungle Giants. Have you been able to catch their live sets as well?
No, Jungle Giants aren't doing Grapevine, but who? Spacey Jane and...
apologies, I'm thinking,
Hayden James.
Yes, yeah.
And the shows have been really fun, actually.
That's awesome to hear. Murph, thank you very much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you. I hope I made some sense.
No, you absolutely did. Congrats on this new LFT album, Life is a Killer, which is out this week. But thank you again.
Thanks so much.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.